Welcome to Healthy Family Connections, the podcast for families wanting out-of-the-box solutions to parenting and relationship challenges, with your host, psychotherapist and author of Ending the Parenting Control Battle, Neil D. Brown.
If you've revoked your teenager's privileges, but now your teen wants another chance, how do you know if they're ready? Well, we'll talk about this and more on this week's podcast, Use Accountability to Create Learning and Growing. It's sponsored by Neil D. Brown, LCSW, and I'm your host, Neil D. Brown, and I'm here to help you get that enjoyable family you work for every day. And if you have a question you'd like me to address on this podcast, please don't be shy. We'll all benefit from your question, so come on over to my website, neildbrown.com, and enter it there today. And while you're there, download a free copy of my Parental Burnout Recovery Guide. And please remember, this is an educational podcast. It is not a substitute for therapy when you need it. Well, today we're answering a question from Janet from Boise, Idaho. And Janet writes, I'm struggling in my quest to move from consequences to privileges. My 16-year-old son is a pretty good kid. He's active in sports and does reasonably well in school. He's very independent-minded and a good arguer. He's been grounded for the last 2 weeks because he didn't come home at the agreed time of 12 a.m. When we texted him, he told us he was spending the night at his friend's and didn't come home till the next afternoon. Here's the dilemma. He wants to get off grounding, and we don't trust him. He's done things like this before, such as come home late, clearly having smoked marijuana. He argues that he can't prove he's trustworthy if we don't give him a chance to prove himself. He has a good point, but we don't feel confident. How do we get out of this deadlock? Well, thanks for your question, Janet. It is a common question for many parents. How do you know when it's time to offer privileges back after a breach from your youth? So today I'm going to clear this up and give parents a roadmap to, well, now what shall I call it? Consequences? Well, that doesn't work because I advocate moving from the concept of consequences to privileges. How about discipline? No, we hate that word. It sounds too militaristic and unempathetic. Punishment? Even worse. Okay, before we settle on a word, let's think about what we're trying to do. What we want is for our children and teenagers to learn and grow from their successes and from their mistakes. So what we're doing is creating an environment that promotes that. Now the question is, when our children and teenagers make a mistake, how do we turn that into a learning experience? An experience where they learn that the behavior was a bad choice and are more likely to make a better choice next time. Now, some will say this all sounds rather manipulative and behavioristic, but as parents, we don't want mechanical kids. We want supported, creative kids who believe in themselves, develop their potential, and are good people and good citizens. That's a pretty tall order, isn't it? But it is the right thing to want. So on the road to those lofty ideals, there have to be guardrails in place, but with plenty of space to allow kids to express themselves, to allow them to learn and grow. We want to offer an environment that gives them lots of choices for personal growth and yet still have guardrails in place. So let's think of it this way. What are the best ways to have accountability in place for our children and teenagers? There, that's not too authoritarian or controlling, is it? After all, accountability exists in every job and every relationship our youth will have as adults. So it's a vital part of their development to know and have respect for the concept of accountability. So no, we aren't disciplining our kids. We aren't punishing our kids. We're using accountability, which is a critical element for their development to help them learn and grow. How do we do that? Well, with a generally positive tone, knowing and accepting that it's part of the parental job and part of child and adolescent learning, and not the most fun part of learning, but vital and important just the same. All right, we already know that the teen years are the journey towards young adulthood, and teens will necessarily want to do things more independently, and when their decisions towards their independence need correction, parents need to correct. Teens are accountable to us, their parents, as they gain their independence. Now, honest, youth who become independent without parental support and parental structure generally do not fare well. Parents, you do not need to tell your teenager that they are accountable to you. They know that already. They may have found ways around it, but they know it. They and we take that for granted. Here are a couple of things that we have at our disposal for implementing and maintaining accountability. First and foremost is our positive relationship with our teenager. When we're affirming of who they are as individuals, not just their behavior, but if we enjoy their sense of humor, appreciate their interests, we see the positives in their personality, and we simply enjoy them, whether they're acting particularly enjoyably or not, they will feel that, and they will understand at a deep level that we have their best interests at heart, and they will be less resistant to our expectations and our limits, and they'll be more accepting of accountability to us. By knowing our teenagers and appreciating the individuality of our teenagers, we provide a deep bond with them, and we offer them the confidence that who they are is worth knowing. And when we set limits or hold them accountable, they know it's coming from someone who loves them, who has their best interest in mind. Secondly, is the concept of earned privileges. Age-appropriate privileges are granted when teenagers earn them, and they are earned by being responsible, cooperative, and respectful. For instance, let's just say a 15-year-old gets a smartphone when they are able to put it away when asked, respond to parental texts and calls, and are otherwise managing their responsibilities. The phone isn't substituting their time for goofing on the phone instead of doing responsibilities. All right, so that's the accountability part. Let's talk about the learning and growing part. Let's say our teenager was screwing up and lost his privileges. No matter what privileges we take away, our teenagers can work around them. They can fight them. They can otherwise just avoid getting the learning and the growing message a parent is really hoping for. They lost their privileges, as Janet's son did, but where is the learning and the growing? All right, let me pose this question. If you're a middle or a high school teacher, what is going to be the better way to teach a civics class? Stand in front of the room and lecture and tell them what you want them to know? Or tailor some questions and problems and break them into small groups to work on and then have them report back what they came up with? Well, of course, it's the latter. We all know that. When we respect that our kids can solve problems and figure things out, they will, and the lessons will be much more deeply learned. When we try to teach them a lesson, particularly if they are in a control battle and are being oppositional, our efforts will, more often than not, simply feed the beast or continue the control battle, adding to our frustration and our burnout, and it will delay the critical learning and growing that they need. Let's say, for instance, that your 14-year-old daughter has started getting a bit rude and uncooperative, and today she calls you a bad name. Well, the easiest thing to do to support learning and growing could be to ask her to go to her room and let you know when she's ready to talk about her behavior. Then when she comes and tells you she's ready, you simply ask questions such as, what's wrong with the behavior she's demonstrating, what's driving it, and what she can do to make sure it doesn't keep happening. And most likely she'll have all the right answers and probably some information about things you're doing that bother her, and that will provide a good opportunity to move your relationship forward and you both learn and grow. Pretty good outcome, right? No revoking privileges, no further problems, at least for the time being. So in this example, we put our 14-year-old in charge of coming up with a solution. Now, let's apply this to your situation, Janet. Your son is grounded and wants his privileges back. The problem is that he is putting the responsibility for the solution on you with no indication that he's done any learning or growing. Just, you give me a chance. Janet, your son has plenty of opportunity to demonstrate or prove to you that he can be trusted. But the way things are structured in the relationship, parents are in charge of the privileges that your son gets, and we want him to be in charge of what that way he'll earn what he gets rather than getting a privilege and then seeing if he was worthy of it. It's like paying someone before they do the job. So just like teaching a civics class, or just like the example with our 14-year-old teen, the one I just shared, we want your son to work on and come up with, in his case, trust solutions. We want him to enjoy going out with friends. We just want to know that we can trust that he'll respond to you when you call or text, that he'll come home at the designated time, and he's not going to be using drugs or alcohol when he's out. The shifting of the responsibility for regaining a privilege from parent to teen is the critical element for ending a control battle and getting our teenagers back on the path to learning and growing. The shifting of the responsibility for regaining a privilege from the parent to the teen. I call the technique I utilize for this the gap. The gap is the empty space between the question and the answer. The question, when do I get my privileges back, that a teen asks their parent, and then the gap is the answer that the parent doesn't have. And it gives responsibility for the answer back to the teenager. And the parent responds with something like, only you know the answer to that question. When you earn your privileges back and demonstrate that you have learned what you need to learn from this, you will get them back. I have no idea when that will be. Only you do. So, Janet, when your son says, how can I prove that I'm trustworthy if you don't give me back the privilege? You say, that's an excellent question, but only you have the answer. I'd like you to go do some serious thinking about the many consequences of breaking trust, how you personally plan to build trustworthiness, and how you can demonstrate to us that you are ready to honor the trust and responsibility that goes along with the privileges that you're granted. Once you've put some thought into this and written some notes on these questions, let me know, and we can discuss what you've come up with. That way, Janet, you'll have a formula for teaching your son in a way that opens the door to his real learning and growing. Now, when he's done that, and you've had an important conversation, and it appears your son is sincere and he's doing things in a way that looks to you like he's understanding his accountability and he's demonstrating trust in some specific areas, such as maybe following through on chores and doing a better job with his homework, then you can offer him some limited privileges to demonstrate his trustworthiness. He'll have the opportunity from there to build on trust and responsibility and expand his privileges. So parents and folks working with teenagers, let's respect their capabilities and invite them to use their capabilities. And when we do, they'll surprise us with their wisdom and they'll surprise us with their willingness. And that is good for all of us. Hey, thanks for tuning in today, listeners. And thanks in particular to you, Janet, from Boise, Idaho. Now that we're into the holiday season, it's more important than ever that you take care of yourselves. You need it. You deserve it. You're worth it. Bye for now.
You've been listening to Healthy Family Connections with Neil D. Brown. If you have a question you'd like answered, head over to neildbrown.com/submit and enter your question for Neil there. While you're there, be sure to sign up for his weekly offering. You may want to pick up a copy of Ending the Parenting Control Battle at your favorite bookstore or online retailer. Join us again for the Healthy Family Connections podcast.